FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today's 12/17/2020. And, well, President Trump is still in the game, evidently, until Inauguration Day. I have a feeling this thing is going to stretch on. And what are some of the things he can do? We're not supporting him one way or the other. When you get to this point in an election cycle, it's virtually impossible to change what's going to happen. But one never knows. And I'd like to get your opinion. Send us an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. And with us now is our good friend, Dr. Steve Turley, turleytalks.com. Got one of the hottest podcasts in the nation right now. And we're really pleased to have him on again. So, Steve, where are we now? Does Trump have any chance at preserving his presidency or getting reelected here?
Yeah, well, great to be back with you again, Kerry. Absolutely, he does. Even the New York Times is admitting that. They're very nervous about what Mike Pence might do as president of the Senate. Well, a lot of people don't know vice president is also automatically president of the Senate. And he is the one who, in the end, certifies the Electoral College vote. They're very concerned. He may refuse to do so because the election is still being contested. We're seeing the Senate hearings going on, led by Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson. And Josh Hawley and Rand Paul have stood up and have said, you know, they are leaving open the possibility of contesting the Electoral College, of blocking it out of protest. Representative Mo Brooks as well of Alabama in the House, he's saying the same thing. You actually need both at least one senator and one representative to file a formal not so much complaint, but blocking of the Electoral College. And it looks like something like that is happening. It almost happened in 2000, by the way. As I understand, that was the last time it got very close to happening. There were several representatives who were filing their grievance, their petition against the Electoral College, but there was not a single senator that would join them. We're already hearing at least two senators, actually three. Ron Johnson himself has said he was considering on doing that. And if that's the case, then the Electoral College is done, and it gets kicked into the Senate and the House. And all you need is a simple majority in the Senate with the vice president breaking the tie. In the House, it actually goes to delegates at that point. Representatives don't. Nancy Pelosi is actually powerless. She can't really do anything, as I understand it. What you have is you have all the state legislatures sending delegates to the House of Representatives, and every state gets one vote. Right now, as of January, we'll have 30 Republican states to Democrats. 20 Democrat states. So, I mean, this thing is, make no mistake, this thing is heating up. I know Mitch McConnell's trying to throw Trump under the bus and just saying, hey, it's done deal. But we're seeing rebellions going on among the deplorable representatives there, the MAGA representatives and senators. And so this is not over. It's a fascinating thing that's going on. Like I said, even the New York Times, in a rare moment of honesty, is admitting President Trump can still pull this off.
Oh, you mean the Times has the editor in charge of honesty? I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. Well, the way they put it is, you know, is Mike Pence going to destroy his future career? That's the way they put it. He's under enormous pressure from this, you know, orange man, bad oligarch on the one hand, and his future in the Republican Party on the other for 2024. So which one is he going to pick? That's how they framed it, of course.
Yeah, well, this is quite a fine mess they've gotten us into here, Steve. And you got to wonder, McConnell, how are they going to, how will the Senate vote for Trump? I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling here, isn't it?
It is. So this is where the Giuliani-led conventions, as it were, of evidence are playing in here. So you've got three verticals emerging here. You've got obviously your 2,000 affidavits witnessing corruption under penalty of perjury, eyewitness accounts. You know, you have your suitcase gate in Georgia and all that. Just good old fashioned, you know, election fraud, ballot stuffing, and the like. That's your first vertical. Your second one is really what's taking place in the courts, and that's the improprieties among non-legislative officials who changed election law illegally. Now, we saw that bear some fruit in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Supreme Court decided in favor of the Trump team in ruling against Wisconsin county clerks who declared voters indefinitely confined because of COVID. So indefinite confinement means you get to go around all of the signature verification issue, address verification, all the chain of custody issues. But this is basically people who are, you know, in hospital beds and in nursing homes and what have you. Well, a bunch of Wisconsin county clerks basically told everybody that they came under the category of indefinitely confined simply because of COVID. So you had tens of thousands of votes cast that bypassed all the chain of custody issues. So the Supreme Court, though not throwing those ballots out, have made room for those ballots to be contested. They can determine how many there were, and Biden only leads by about 19,000 in Wisconsin. Plus, you have 221,000+ ballots that did not have written requests for them. In Wisconsin, it has the most strict law, and that requires that you cannot just simply mail out ballots like they're doing in Georgia right now. You have to have a written request for a ballot. That did not happen. So this is what you're doing in this second vertical, is you're bringing out all these improprieties so as to be able to get these legislators, all Republican, to say, wait a minute, at the very least, we're going to decertify the electors, or we're going to decertify the election and send in an alternative slate of electors to vote for Trump on December 6th, or at least to give Congress enough, like these senators Hawley and Paul and Representative Mo Brooks, to challenge the electors and block the electors. And then the third vertical you've got is the Dominion irregularities, particularly in Antrim County in Michigan, where they found through a forensic audit a 68% error rate in a county. It's a small county. It's only about 25,000 people. I think there were 16,000 total votes. And in the first counting, Trump had 5,000 less and Biden had 1,000 more than he should have. And that's when you got your 6,000 vote so-called glitch that switched over to Trump. And Arizona used that as their basis to subpoena Dominion Voting Systems in Maricopa County, which is 4.5 million people, because they said, wait a minute, if you had almost 70% error rate in a county with, you know, 25,000 people, can you imagine what you might have had in a county with 4.5 million? So all of this is just coming to a head, and it's all combining to get enough senators and representatives to say, you know what, something's wrong here. We cannot in good conscience certify this. And that's when it gets, this is what the Trump team's always wanted. It gets kicked into Congress. It gets kicked into particularly the House of Representatives, where state legislatures bring in delegates, 30 Republican states to 20 Democrat states, and Trump wins reelection rather easily there. Now, where the Senate comes in all that, that's going to be the sticking point there.
Yeah, well, we know McConnell, he's got a lot of skeletons in his closet as well. He's been in the Senate his whole adult life virtually. So I'm sure that someplace, somebody has the goods on him.
Well, and I was going to say, that could be used to our advantage, of course. You know, if Trump's ready to say, all right, well, I'm going to declassify everything. If I'm going down, I'm blowing the whole thing up with me. You know, I'm going full, yeah, Saddam Hussein leaving Kuwait here. Or you could play by the rules, Mitch. You know how it plays out. So it'll be interesting, definitely.
That's for sure. I call this scorched earth. We already saw several days ago Over 2 million members of the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, actually get exposed. And that just happened. Nobody knows from where, someplace in Australia, maybe. Who knows? And then you've had all these other crazy things going on here, Steve. So it sounds like they're playing for keeps here, and there's no holding back.
Yeah, and the interesting thing with that one is thus far, this battle, as it were, has been fought on two fronts. It's been legislative and legal, legislative and legal. With this revelation, it does appear that a new front is opening up, and that's executive. So you have people like Sidney Powell coming out telling the Epoch Times that there is enough foreign interference that's been revealed, particularly from the director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. CBS News was just reporting on that. He has confirmed there was a number of significant foreign influence, particularly from China, in this election. That's opening up now calls for Trump to trigger his executive order on foreign interference back in September 2018 that he signed, which declares that no later than 40 days after the conclusion of the United States election, the Director of National Intelligence shall conduct an assessment of any information indicating that a foreign government or any person acting as an agent on behalf of a foreign government has acted with the intent or purpose of interfering that election. That has happened. That's exactly what John Ratcliffe has concluded, Director of National Intelligence, regarding China. And so people like Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, others, Michael Flynn, they're all saying this is it. This is all President Trump needs in order to trigger emergency powers. And that would be the ability to appoint a special prosecutor and pound every single Dominion voting machine throughout the nation, all that kind of stuff. And my, I mean, you even have some ex-military officials coming out and saying, let's go, let's do martial law. This is the only way we're going to get to the bottom of this. So this is opening up another front. It's pretty fascinating. You had the legal challenges via Rudy. You're having the legislative challenges from these Republican legislatures, like we're seeing in Arizona and Michigan, Wisconsin and Georgia and Pennsylvania. Now you're getting these executive, possible executive powers awakened. So it, like I said, I mean, this thing's far from over. There's fascinating things happening each and every day.
So really, I mean, can you see this happening where, I mean, look, if the election had been tampered with from overseas, and we don't really know the answer to that, obviously our digital overlords tell us it hasn't happened and you need a tinfoil hat. Maybe you need a hat made out of palladium. I think it's got better properties for blocking those cosmic rays from distorting your perception. But remember, they warned us, the left, going back months and months, that Trump was going to declare martial law. Remember this?
Right, right.
They've been warning us for like upwards of a year, and it's always projection with them, everything else. But do you think it's really possible that this could happen? I mean, you know, the riots that took place in the summer would be tame compared to what would happen then.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by Mustango River Resources. Their flagship projects are located in Kirkland Lake, an established gold camp that has historically produced over 70 million ounces of gold. The Kirkland West Project is a high-grade gold project beside Kirkland Lake Gold's world-class Macassa Gold Mine, one of the highest-grade mines in the world. The Umeja Project is an advanced-stage project with 600,000-plus ounces of gold along the Cadillac Break, 25 kilometers east of Macassa. Their projects have the potential to transform into another world-class mining camp in the Kirkland Lake District. Make sure you go over to mistango.com. That's mistango.com. Take a look and sign up for notifications. Stock is traded on the Canadian Stock Exchange, ticker symbol MIS. For more information and to sign up for notifications, go to mistango.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Oh, sure. No question. Yeah. I mean, it's anyone's guess on that level for sure. I just think bottom line, we're here when all is said and done. We're here because of the fecklessness of Republicans. I mean, we've got to be absolutely honest. We're not here because of the conniving, conspiratorial nature of Democrats. We're here because of the feckless weakness of the 5% Romney Republican. That's why we are here. The deplorables fight. President Trump fights. Hawley fights. Paul fights. Brooks fight. The fighters, this is not a problem. I mean, if you had your five vote, conservative bloc in the Supreme Court willing to fight, we wouldn't be having this issue. They would have easily taken up that Texas lawsuit, or they'd easily throw out the 300,000 plus or whatever they are votes that came into Pennsylvania after 8 p.m. on November 3rd against the stated legislative passed law in Pennsylvania. It required that deadline at 8 p.m. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court switched it. They legislated from the bench. Even Alito said it was pretty obvious. And yet they just don't want to touch it. They don't want to go near it. They're afraid of the crowds outside their houses, all that. If it's fecklessness. It's cowardless. And what we've got to do is we've got to push our Republicans to stand up. If they stand up, look, I mean, we've got the majority of states, we've got the Senate, we've got the Supreme Court, we've got the White House. There's no reason to think that if they just stood up and they challenged the obvious fraud that's taken place, or they challenged the obvious improprieties, at the very least, among non-legislative officials governing elections in a way that they have no constitutional basis for doing. If they just simply stood up and defended these 2,000 affidavits of people, eyewitness accounts, witnessing good old-fashioned corruption taking place like Suitcase Gate in Georgia. I mean, we've got this. But that's the problem. We've got too many Romneys and too many people, too many Republicans who'd rather get fanfare from CNN than stand up faithfully for their deplorable base. So we're going to have to see what happens. But things are certainly lining up to happen. The question is how they play themselves out. That remains to be seen.
Well, you know, we've got the so-called Christmas star coming up here, Dr. Steve.
That's right.
It's on Monday, the 21st. And according to people I've talked to who've examined the president's astrological chart, whether you believe in such things or not, of course, is irrelevant. But they say that all of the resistance he's encountered over the past month and a half here comes to an end, and it's also the winter solstice, all these things.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So
that's
all
right,
of these
the 21st,
things.
Yeah.
So maybe I will go get my palladium hat on now because I'm kind of decidedly negative on the whole thing, but I do want to see it play out, obviously.
Right.
If nothing else, just because it's really interesting.
Right.
So, but yeah.
And a good, silver lining here, regardless of how things play out, it is once again causing assemblymen, state assemblymen, legislators to stand up and say, wait a minute now. And I had the privilege of interviewing one of them, Senator Doug Mastriano, state senator of Pennsylvania, who got spearheaded the Gettysburg hearings that really got the ball rolling in a number of different hearings in Wisconsin and Georgia and Michigan and Arizona. And, he said, it is causing them to once again reassert their constitutional authority, what's called their plenary authority over the entire electoral process. They farmed it out back in Pennsylvania, particularly farmed it out back in 1938 to the Secretary of State. Again, all these non-legislative officials. And they've come into office, these Republicans, and they had no idea that they actually were granted by Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution of plenary authority over the time, manner, and place of elections. They had no clue. They thought it was all professionalized.
Oh, yeah.
It was all farmed out. They had no idea. Well, if there's a silver lining to this, maybe finally those 30 Republican states are going to reassert their authority. They will never see Dominion voting systems again or Smartmatic or any of this nonsense. And we're going to clamp down on mail-in voting in at least 30 states to make sure that chain of custody is enforced and there are safeguards in place. So those are all good things. This is all good. I just hope that we don't end up losing a great president as a result of it.
Yeah, well, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs.
There you go.
Liken this, though. There is an interesting kind of parallel to this on a much, much smaller scale. And that is in Connecticut, you have the Foxwoods Casino, which is run by the Manishtucket Pequot tribe, which never even really existed, but we won't even talk about that. It's been dead for 200 years, but it was resurrected through a bunch of legislative ledgermen. And it was all this doing by this guy, Skip Hayward, who was complete like loser until he realized that if you're an Indian, an indigenous peoples, you can get a casino. And he got the whole thing running. And then what happened was the tribe was strictly limited, but he appointed somebody he trusted. And behind his back, this guy was just taking all sorts of people into the tribe. He had no idea. And then when it came time to reelect him, which he should have been a shoo-in because he made them all wealthy, he found out that this guy had inflated the voter rolls, the tribal rolls, and he was voted out. And there was not a thing in the world he could do about it. Wow. And that's what we've been going on in this country for a long time, for, a lot of years. And so it's instructive. There was a book written about it called Without Reservation. And actually, the guy who was running the casino was a friend of the president's, a former employer of his. And the story is amazing, but that's what happens. You can't just count the votes. You got to count who gets to cast the votes. And you have to scrutinize those people, your voter roll, because if you don't, then you wind up in Chicago, where Election Eve is also known as the Night of the Living Dead.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. Well said.
Yeah, well, I'm distinctly downcast on this, but I'd love to be surprised on the upside. You never know. I just find it fascinating as a historical event. And I can picture kids in their American history class, 200 years from now, after everything has passed, probably after, the countries that exist now are totally different. And they'll be studying this, the decline of the American Empire, just like we studied, or we should have studied if you went to a school that actually taught it. They certainly don't anymore. The rise and fall of the Roman Empire. I think there's a lot of parallels, and let's hope that the empire can continue on. Every day that our current system keeps going, in my opinion, Steve, is a gift from the Almighty, because the idea of us not having this system, it ain't going to be fun for sure.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Hey, so you've got a webinar coming up, if I'm not mistaken, a teleconference that we should know about?
Thanks for that. Yeah, we've got a New Year's virtual conference on January 9th, so Saturday, 2021. And really, it's there to help all of us feel prepared for the year ahead. And what we want to do is give you the information you need to remain strong and confident, whatever may come, precisely because I really believe in having long-term perspective on things. So you analyze whatever's going on in your 24-hour cycle, make sure you understand it in a broader perspective on what's going on. And that'll give everyone confidence and resolve as we approach the year ahead. So we've got early bird sale pricing going on until tomorrow, until Friday, and people can take advantage of that. All they have to do is just go, they can go to my website, turleytalks.com, or just go to any video of mine over the last few days on YouTube, and there'll be a link to register for the online virtual conference.
All right. Well, hey, that is great. I am going to do my bestest to be there. And love your perspective on things. It's always so optimistic and fresh. I call, the last time I interviewed you, I called you the eternal optimist. And hey, but you're a realist too. I mean, we all know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Yeah. So, gotta have both. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
But you should always hope for the best and prepare for the worst. That's kind of been the theme of my life. In any event, so go over to turleytalks.com, check out that conference. I'm going to be there. And any questions or comments for Dr. Steve Turley, just send me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. Go sign up for our newsletter, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Hey, happy, healthy, Merry Christmas. Happy, healthy New Year to you and yours, Dr. Steve.
Right back at you, Carrie. The best of New Year's and a Merry Christmas to you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.